in life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. She's A.V. Angelica Vlasenko on the board. Causing trouble this morning, Brendan. How are you?
Sounds like you're causing trouble, Chief. I was getting worried about you.
Well, you know, she, the new girl, the new A.V., was always there when I was waiting for her. We're back to the old A.V. they just can't quite get moving anymore. S.P. Futures down 975. Dow Futures down 95. NASDAQ Futures are actually up 67, so we're having a mixed bag. We have yesterday the market was to the moon, Alice. Mostly the tech stuff. Same stuff. We're back into buying all the same stuff, Brendan. We don't like anything else. Well, yesterday was a pretty broad rally, but still got Amazon up, you know, like $100, and we're pouring money into the system, and there's nothing we can do but pour it into the same stuff. And we had people last night talking about how the banks are, you know, are tremendous buys here and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we'll see. We got to buy Apple, got to buy. How is it that Apple, I'm beside myself with how Apple manages to maintain this thing with all the crap they're doing in China, with all the stuff going on there, with, you know, us hating them and them hating us, and these guys are in the middle. Do they have pictures of both leaders or what?
Well, they may have. It sure seems that way. But today is their big announcement day. Today is the day they're supposed to announce the new iPhone.
Right, and we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a 5G evidently or something? Is that the story?
Yeah, and so that means they get two boosts this year, because last month when they typically announce their phone, they announce the upgrade to their iPad. It's their iPhone, so they're getting double bang this quarter.
But I still I don't the whole idea of these guys, you know, using this offshore labor, that some of it now appears to be these people that are enslaved and stuff, or that's at least some of the rumors. I couldn't buy an Apple phone if my life depended on it. I mean, I honestly couldn't. It's just me, Brennan. What can I say? I'm not saying anybody else should be like that. I'm saying it's just me.
It's a Southside values. You know that EP Evergreen Park type value is just trying to say enough is enough.
I just can't. Now when you live in Evergreen Park and across the street is Chicago, so you basically use the Chicago street lights, you know, to play ball in the street at night and so forth. Are you really mm-hmm. Evergreen Park? Or you
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. I don't know that you are really Evergreen Park in a case like that.
It depends on,
well, in the olden days, you could tell by your area code on your phone.
Right. Well, we were Garden. We were 423, so that was Garden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when everybody had a name?
Yep, I do. Hudson 34047. That was my number growing up. Hudson 34047.
At least you weren't Hudson 347. Hudson 2700 was the rug joint?
I don't remember exactly. I'll hear it
Hudson
every now and then when
Hudson 327. I think that was it. Was the rug place. But talking
mm-hmm.
about a number.
I remember that.
AV, just for your, before you had, like, now we're 773 or whatever your. Or whatever your thing, not 773, whatever your thing happens to be, you had actually a name to it. Like my aunt lived near, she was on 50th Street, so she was Boulevard, whatever it was, Boulevard something something. So everybody had a number. Everybody in Evergreen Park was Garden, because it was the, considered a garden community or something back in those
days. Number for what?
Well, when you gave your phone number out.
For phone number?
Yeah, your phone number now would be, like mine is 771-8814, my cell phone. It wouldn't be 771. It would be the first two letters would be Garden 3.
Like
so it would be G.
Like mine was HU for Hudson.
How would people dial that?
Well, it was the, you know, you have the numbers, the letters on your phone, so you use the letters for the first two numbers. So it was actually easier to remember, because you only had to remember five numbers instead of seven.
Interesting. I didn't know.
And no area codes.
Yeah,
they didn't have an area code either.
They don't have an area code, so you were just, everybody was 312. The whole area, so.
When was it?
A while ago.
Not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
40 or 50 years.
It was a while, but it was a, I remember my grandmother had a phone when I was real young. You actually picked up the phone and you told the operator the number you wanted to call. The operator would answer.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. If you watch the old Andy Griffin shows, when they call and they ask for the operator to say, you know, call the police station or call the doctor's office or call the barber.
And whenever you called long distance,
she would place the phone.
Yeah, whenever you called long distance, it was a fortune. It cost an arm and a leg to call long distance. And all the old people would, like, yell louder because they knew it had to go further. It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was just a different world. But the main thing is you still communicated with people. I mean, it wasn't like you didn't, you couldn't make a basketball game or you couldn't get your bowling team together or you couldn't make it to the bar. You called somebody's house. The mom answered the phone. You got wherever your friend was on the phone, or you just told your man, hey, tell Joe we're playing ball at 6. Okay, or Joe would show up at 6. I mean, it wasn't like you couldn't communicate. I remember
those times. We had, like, home phone. Like,
yeah, maybe you had a phone in the kitchen, and maybe there was a phone in your parents' bedroom, but that was it. You know,
the phone that was on the wall, and this was after the rotary phones, but when they had the wall phones, you had the really long cord, so if you really wanted privacy, you'd pull the phone into the pantry and close the pantry door so that the people couldn't hear you.
Well, plus your mom could cook while she was on the phone.
Yes.
But I mean, you knew everybody's mom as much as you did them. I mean, it was much. You didn't get in order to go anywhere in society. Then you had to talk to people. You had to know everybody. You had to know somebody's mother. The old man never answered the phone. I mean, the dad never answered. Yep. It was never for him. Yep. But the mom, of course, wanted to know.
That's against the rules.
Oh, yeah. But the mother always did because she wanted to know who everybody the kids were hanging around with.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you know.
Or if you were doing something you weren't supposed to, and one of the other kids' moms was telling you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had this thing, like, if your child goes to another neighborhood to play with other kids, like, you give someone's phone, like one phone for one building where it's, like, 10 apartments, and then someone calls this apartment and asks for your kid. And then the mom just screams from the balcony. It was funny times.
I
remember that. And I feel like those conversations were, like, more, like, sustainable.
Well, the idea that nobody
ever
talked to anybody.
Also, remember before, Chief, before there was texting or anything like that, you'd stand outside the back door and say, "Yo, Chief."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you really didn't want to, if you didn't want to run through the mother if you didn't have to. And get the third degree, because you got the third degree from his mother.
The old cub, yo.
Yeah, hopefully the guy would just walk out and he'd take off without having to answer any questions to anybody. Because normally there were questions, right? You know what, I never, you know, as much as I'm, I'm certainly not a today's technical guy, but I never really understood the science behind the party line. How exactly do those work?
Science.
I mean, my aunt, you could get a call if the other person was talking, but you couldn't make a call if the person on the party line. I mean, it wasn't exactly one line where if you picked up, you could hear the other person talking, but it was.
Oh, yeah, it was. If because a party line would share, like, through a neighborhood or through several homes in the block, and if one person was on the call, if I picked up the phone and you were already on it, I could hear your conversation, or I could just butt in and say, "Hey, Chief, I need to make a call. Get off the line."
But you had a separate number.
Yeah, you had a separate number, but the line was shared.
But if somebody else was talking and somebody's trying to call you, I don't think they got a busy signal. Was something weird about it?
I don't remember that. Whether that's true or not, I don't.
I don't remember how the darn thing worked. My aunt had one, and it was kind of weird.
I remember that too. As a really young kid, I remember having a party line, and you had to talk to the other folks, some of the neighbors, as to who was going to be on the line when, so that you know that on Sunday morning from 9 to 10, you could call Ireland, or, you know, for my parents' case, they would sometimes call their siblings in Ireland.
Yeah, what did that
for
cost?
For a short period of time.
That cost a week's salary?
It was expensive.
Oh, yeah. I remember it. First thing you did when you went to Notre Dame is you got a phone card. So there was a phone, everybody had a phone in their room, and you could call, you know, all around campus, and you could call St. Mary's if you wanted to. All that was, quote, included, I won't say free. But if you called home, everybody had their own credit, essentially phone card, but it wasn't a credit card, you just got the bill from the phone company. God, there were people chasing down students and guys, you know, using other people's numbers and stuff. It was an absolute fiasco for 4 years. I mean, Talk about a joke. Anyway. Mm-hmm. All right, so Brendan, we got all kinds of Hall of Famers, Diane. We got the Mark.
I know. I was going to make that as a segue when we're talking about old times when we were kids. All of our baseball heroes are dying now.
Well, this year we got what? Al Kaline, now Whitey Ford. We got Joe Morgan yesterday.
Bob Gibson.
Yeah, Bob Gibson. Who else was? Somebody else. Lou Brock.
Lou Brock.
Yeah. Unreal. All these guys.
Yeah, it's been a tough year for baseball.
Well, the only one left in the Cubs guys is Billy, right?
Billy Williams.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rand and Ernie are going. All right, you're a Sox fan. Why did they fire Ricky?
Because he doesn't know how to manage. He might have been a guy who could help develop young kids, but he had no clue how to manage in the game. I mean, look at what he did in the last couple of weeks of the season. He throws Rodon into a situation in the middle of an inning. The guy's always been a starting pitcher. He's coming off of an injury. He puts him into a game where he gets hit and then lose the game.
Are you there? We seem to have lost you, Brendan. I imagine he'll call back.
You're there. Yeah, I'm here.
You ditched for a minute.
I think that he just didn't. The Sox realized that he doesn't know how to manage a game. He might be great with player development, but he doesn't know how to manage.
But you have a team you've stacked with young, essentially Hispanic kids. And he speaks the language, and he seems to have developed a tremendous rapport. Why don't you just require him to hire some, you know, old grizzled bench coach? And why did they fire
like Don Cooper?
Well, I don't understand why they fired him too. I mean,
it's unusual. I mean, when you think of how long he has been around with the White Sox, he's been there for over 30 years. I think that's 32 years. He's been there in one capacity or another, and they got rid of him. So I don't understand how that worked or why they did that right now, as well as getting rid of Ricky.
Well, the Cubs couldn't wait to get rid of Larry Rothschild, and I don't know if they've had a pitcher develop since he left.
Nope.
And then he's still coaching someplace. He's still in great demand.
I think he's still in the playoffs, isn't he? With somebody who's still in the playoffs off the West Coast.
Was it LA? He's playing Atlanta, right? Was it?
Who's LA playing? Is he with the Dodgers?
I think he might.
I don't know, but I think he's still coaching with somebody who's in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, I don't. He's not with the Yankees, is he?
No, he was with the Yankees, but he's not with the Yankees now. I don't think.
All right, I have to ask you a question regarding the politics of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As we, in terms of I read this stuff, you know, again, I'm like the central clearinghouse for COVID stuff. I'm going to say in late April, early May, I got a study from a doctor in Italy that nobody believed. And he said that there was a mutation. There's been a few mutations, but one of the main ones on the COVID virus, with the ugly looking old thing that it is, it made one of the little arms the things have, I'm sure arms is not the term. Anyway,
little spikes.
It made the spike rougher,
mm-hmm.
which made it easier for it to attach to cells. This guy's opinion was it made the disease more contagious and less deadly. But he was saying in early May that people were getting sick at a faster rate or testing positive at a faster rate, but the hospitalizations were way down and virtually nobody was dying. And a lot more people were asymptomatic. This was in May. Now, you don't see anything like that here for like a long time. And all of a sudden, 3-4 weeks ago, I got something from the Center for Disease Control. It looks like the disease is not as deadly as it was in March and April.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, there was a guy on CNBC, and he's got some, I don't know if he was the CDC, somebody's a big shot. And he goes, this is absolutely not the same disease as it was in March or April. Because the amount of tests, the amount of people that have it, virtually all of them are asymptomatic or very close. Even not just the young kids. He goes, it's whatever it is, he goes, the deaths are down, the hospitalizations are down, and I got this thing from Kevin last week. It was a study from the top 50 colleges that reports something like 69,000 positive tests not one death and only three hospitalizations. Now, if we are lucking out, and that is happening, is it possible for all the stuff that's been put into place, the money pouring out to these firms, every politician, especially the Democrats, that have staked their life on masks and everything else, is it possible for them to stand down at all? Even if tomorrow the thing didn't kill anybody, but I'm not saying that's going to happen, I surely would hope, do you think it's possible to turn off the process?
I'm not sure that it is right now. I think that it has really gotten to a point where it is so political and it is so polarizing that that's not going to happen for a while.
But even 60 minutes.
I just don't see it happening. And it is being fueled a little bit more by the fact that some states, Wisconsin comes to mind, is having a spike in hospitalizations. It does seem like the death rate is going down dramatically because even though the numbers continue to rise, the number of deaths is staying the same or even dropping almost all everywhere. So I agree with you on that it does not seem to be as deadly, and there probably is some mutation. I think also that the treatment has improved. We know more about how to treat it, and we're not just throwing people on ventilators and having them die after a week or two on ventilators. So we are handling it better, but I don't know that it's for the foreseeable future. I don't think people are going to stand down. I think they're doubling down on the need for what their positions are, unfortunately.
Which is insane to me. I don't see how the hell. I mean, I listened to this. I wasn't saying bad about him because his name's on there, and it's not up to me to do that. The president of or CEO of American Airlines was on last Friday on CNBC, mm-hmm. and he's talking about how. So she says, well, you've got every seat taken. The guy says, well, everybody's wearing a mask, which after 4 hours of sitting next to somebody, I'm going to say anybody with a smidgen of brains says if you and I are in a car together from here to Seattle, doesn't matter whether we're in masks or not. Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Does it?
No, it does not.
And so he says because of the ventilation in the plane, everybody's okay. So you're telling me, you bump, that there is more ventilation in a plane than there is in an outdoor stadium. Or walking down the street where we're telling people to wear masks, walking down the sidewalk. Do we mm-hmm. are we that stupid that we believe that?
I can't vouch for the stupidity or the brilliance of the American public or people generally, but that's one of the things that they're touting, that when they're talking about the filtration system. And you know, I've seen the
how can it be better than outside?
Diagrams of how it flows down and off to the side and how fresh air comes in from the outside every 2 minutes, so it's supposed to be so safe.
Plus, I'm not an aviation engineer, but I'm going to say that's total BS. The old planes took in way more outside air than the new ones, and one of the reasons why they saved money in the new ones, a few more fuel efficient, because they recycled more of the air. You could never mm-hmm. smoke on these new planes like you could on a 720. Well, they were pretty nasty, but the ventilation system on a 727 or a 707 or DT8, DC8 took way more outside. People used to have smoke on those things and everybody survived.
Yeah.
I mean, you smell like smoke, but you could never do that on these things. I'm almost positive that one of the reasons why the new planes save fuel is because they don't recircle the air as much as the old ones did.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to this stuff, and why people don't say, wait a minute. In fact, Brendan, when I was looking at the original studies of how far away you should be from somebody, the original study was done by, I said this the other day, a Harvard University regarding tuberculosis in the 1919 or something. Now, granted, it's an old study. It doesn't make it wrong. They claim that you had to be within 3 feet of somebody, not just to get a germ on you, but to get enough on you where you could actually get TB. So not just mm-hmm. not just Brendan's jogging down the one side of the street and I'm on the other side and a huge gust of wind comes up and wings a microsoft droplet of Brendan's onto my pants. Well, you know what? That's not a viral load. I'm not going to get sick from that, right? But so when they redid the study, they did it on airplanes. This is in the Bush administration. And in the airplanes, they said you got to be at least 6 feet because of the lack of ventilation. So that's how the 6 feet got into the vernacular of the Center of Disease Control. It was a study done on airplanes. And they said, well, we'll make it 6 feet.
I didn't realize that that was the first time that they came up, how they came up with the 6 feet.
Yeah.
I thought it was from analyzing in a dark room with the spray that was colored so you could see it in the dark.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff after that, fluid dynamic stuff that said 6 feet, if you don't want any droplets on you, it probably should be 6 feet. But it doesn't really, it doesn't speak to viral load. Right, it doesn't say you can it get to you? Yes. Can it get to you and you likely to be infected? Those guys, they weren't that wasn't their job. They were fluid dynamics guys. Right? Anyway.
Yeah.
So what,
but with all this going on, you know, do you think that we will get a stimulus package, and what's the impact going to be on the economy if we don't get a stimulus bill? Sometime either before the election or even before the end of the year.
To be honest, Brennan, I don't know. I've never seen anything. I'm sure somewhere, if I dug through, Friedman's work in other countries or something, other than like the Weimar Republic or someplace, I've never seen a situation where they're talking about a stimulus check, where they literally are not going to, and they're talking about it in terms of fiscal stimulus. There's not going to be any fiscal stimulus. The Fed is just going to print the money and they're going to write the checks. So there's going to be a huge backlash someday. Right? I mean, this year, if they do that, they're going to be in a calendar year, because we just flipped the fiscal year. In a calendar year, we've essentially spent four times the income tax receipts from the government. And then they're looking to do more. And what they're doing is they're hiding behind the fact that the Fed is printing the money and is buying the debt, and that's how they're getting away with it. I mean, they're not going out to borrow that money. If they
but the stimulus comes in is when I get my $1,200 check or you get your $1,200 check and you spend it.
Well, you do, but if it just, all it does is degrade your currency and runs your cost of living up, you haven't gained anything. And I think we're at that point.
That's true. That's a hidden cost of it. I agree with you.
So my question is, in truthful to the American people, and I'm talking about the news media in general, and how do you have, we run a segment with a guy talking about housing prices, now he's raising prices like every 2 weeks, and the cost of lumber is up 100% this year. How the hell do you give Home Depot's same store sales up 6% and cheer like you're a moron? You can't, without asking the person from Home Depot, by the way, how much of that 6% is the doubling of lumber prices?
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually sell more 2x4s? The answer's got to be no, Brendan.
Yeah.
Why can't we ask that question anymore? Who's the invisible hand behind the questions you can't ask?
Well, is it the questions that you can't ask or the answers you don't want to hear?
Well, but who's how is it that these, if you look at the resumes of the people on CNBC, there's not an idiot there. They're men and women that have gone to MBA schools at the best places and so forth, and they're not dum-dums. How do they not put this together? Or they're just told not to?
Well, I think it's more like they're told not to, that there are certain things, there are certain approaches that you want to take, because I think the same thing is true in the political realm, not just on the economic questions, but depending on what station you're on, you'll ask a line of questions and you'll avoid certain questions and certain answers.
Well, I'm gonna lob out there, and AV will get a bunch of tweets. You know, I'm no Trump person. I honestly think that the treatment of him in the coverage of various things by the media is despicable. As bad as he is, I have not lowered myself to do what they're doing to him. I mean, how is it that none of the gains in the Middle East, unless you look at page 12 of some of the London Times, all the good work that's been done over there in the last 6 months, with the treaties being signed, you know, airline flying over Saudi Arabia, those kinds of things. Well, how is that not even published, Brennan?
Well, I think the reason it's not being published is because there's so many other distractions that are taking the place of that news.
Well, I'm just saying.
And a lot of that is being focused on because of Trump himself. I think he's bringing a lot of this on by not touting the things that he has done in the Middle East.
I don't disagree.
And so he is trying to keep the focus on him, because when you look at peace in the Middle East or peace agreements or all the things that you just mentioned, that doesn't involve him as a center of the universe. And I believe that the narcissism that he has exhibited is a main reason, because if he's talking about that, he can't talk about himself.
I'm saying we have not let him knock us off our game, have we?
No.
Why have other people? They get paid a lot more dough. Anyway, Brendan, talk to you next week, if not sooner, buddy. Be good. SP Futures down a whole 50 cents. NASDAQ Futures up 112. Be right back. Mr. Joel O'Connor.
Bye-bye.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. SP Futures down a whole one. NASDAQ Futures up 112. We've got the Dow is actually down 106. We've got individual stocks in the Dow that are down. We've got Johnson & Johnson down 234. That's really about that. We got Disney's up 533 as they are splitting some of their groups they announced last night. This whole idea that all you can do is move people around inside the place and it they're going to spend more on streaming stuff, evidently, which everybody thinks is the future. So anyway, that's what that is. Over in Europe, we got the DAX down 60.5%, FTSE down 6.1%, CAC around down 13.3%. Over in Asia, the Nikkei is up 43, Only 1% Shanghai up 1, call that flat. Hang Seng is actually unchanged. Wow. Just a review of yesterday, Dow up 250, S&P up 57, it's 1.6%, and NASDAQ up 296, 2.6. Individual, the same five stocks, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, you name it, just pour money into those stocks. There's no, the tree is growing all the way to the sky. 10-year, 0.76, the Bund, minus 0.54. The Bund is going lower, which is very bizarre here. The other two are going a little bit higher, hanging even. Japan up they're at positive 0.03%. Got oil, a little bit of a rally today, back up over 40, up 73 cents to 40.16. Brent up 66 cents, 42.38. Natural gas down 7 cents, 2.80. Arbob up a penny to 1.19. We got gold down 3.60, but still 19.25. Silver down 17 cents, 25.09. Copper 304 down a penny. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, all kinds of traffic problems.
Good morning, friends. All kinds of sports and traffic. It's 47 degrees. A bit chilly right now in Chicago. But the day is promising to be with plenty of sunshine. High around 70 and 46 at night. No precipitation is expected. Phoenix is back to near high record temperatures. High about 101 and 67 at night. We have accident reported on Kennedy I-90 West between Foster and Bryn Mawr, causing solid traffic, which is backed up to I-94. Car crash involving Chicago police as a result of pursuit in the Jefferson Park neighborhood. The outbound Kennedy is completely shut down with power lines down across the lane. Try to avoid the area. Hopefully there is no serious victims or injuries.
And a guy flew off the Foster and landed on the expressway.
Oh, no.
Lucky he didn't land on somebody. I don't think he did.
Well, in a big sports report, we have...
Yes.
Race.
The strong part of AB's game is a sports report.
4-2, Braves won Dodgers 5-1, and Lakers bet hit.
That was the night before, and we had New Orleans won last night, and in the last minute, we have Joel.
Yes, we do.
Joel, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. Good morning.
It's not a good morning if you're Major League Baseball. Yankees out. Dodgers lost their first game. What are they going to do without the two big teams in there in the finals, maybe?
How would that be if Houston actually won the World Series?
They're down 2-0, so it's not all that likely, but people would not be happy.
No, so a Tampa Bay Braves World Series. I'd like to see the ratings on that.
Yeah. Were you a Whitey Ford fan?
A little bit before my time. Boy, I tell you, I have not watched one pitch of the baseball playoffs yet. How about you, Chief?
I have. It's been some pretty good baseball, though. I will say this. I'm convinced, just like last year, the year before, where they absolutely were convinced they juiced the ball, they juiced the ball again. We're talking about guys that are second baseman hitting home runs that are 50 seats in, 50 rows in. We're not talking about, there hasn't been a leak in home run that I've seen. Everything appears to be, I mean, the one year they claim, that the pitchers couldn't sign their name on the ball, that they made the ball so smooth, so the pitchers couldn't spin it or something?
No, well, ratings are down across the board for all sports. I don't know if it's just, people are turning to other alternatives. I don't know if it's the scheduling. I don't know if it's the way, the athletes are taking political stances, but, interesting just across the board that, the people are turning up. They still seem to be wagering via way some of these gaming stocks are moving, but ratings down across the board, Chief, and I'm not surprised.
It's probably not all that politically correct, but I'm going to say that the NBA has absolutely shot themselves in the foot. Some combination of the players wandering around and forming their own teams. It's like a neighborhood softball team. You run around and play on the team you want to play on, and you're trying to get a bunch of ringers on one team. I mean, the idea that, and then all of a sudden it's the political stances and the you know, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's a lot of ways it's bad basketball. Now, the finals, I guess, were pretty good basketball. Jimmy Butler, how he was in the MVP, I have no idea. But politically, he's never going to be with LeBron playing. But he single-handedly almost made that a series, didn't he? I mean, but I just want to point out one thing interesting in Whitey Ford's stat line. I remember him because the White Sox won in 1959. And whenever they played the Yankees, Whitey Ford always beat them. The White Sox murdered everybody else, and they could not beat the Yankees. And Whitey Ford had to be seemingly 50-0 against the Sox. But the guy comes up his first year. He's 21. He goes 9-1 with the Yankees, 1950. Now you look at his career and you say, "Well, God, he only had how many wins did he had? He only had 236. You know what's so big about that for that many years?" 1951-52, he was in Korea. Did not pitch a game.
Wow.
So he lost two years. Well, I don't know where he was, but he was in the military service. So I imagine 51-52, he would have had something to do with Korea. You know, I don't know if he was over there or not. But so these guys actually lost years in military service. You know what I read last night? Jimmy Stewart, the actor, was actually a general in the Air Force.
I did not know that. I didn't know that
at all.
Going back to the NBA, just real quickly, yeah. People forget, and it's a little over a year ago, but they got rid of Magic. Magic resigned. That was May of 2019, and then Rob Pelinka, the Michigan grad, who was actually on that 89 team, let them in there. So got rid of Magic and ended up putting a team together. I mean, once they got Anthony Davis on that trade, I think we pretty much knew who the NBA winner was. But it's interesting that they did it post-Magic.
Magic, he's still part owner, though, isn't he? Or is he?
I think so. But he left the front office because he wasn't getting to make all the decisions. So funny how everything turned out on that.
You think the White Sox, I was surprised they got rid of Ricky, but you think they're going to hire, I get this eerie feeling that they're going to, as soon as the World Series is over, they're going to hire Joey Cora. Why have any morals whatsoever? Just hire him. as long as his suspension is over, he's okay now after cheating during a World Series.
Just win, baby.
Yeah.
That's what Al Davis used to say.
Yeah, just win, baby. Just win,
baby.
You know what? If there isn't a law against it, it must be okay, right, Joel?
And even if there is a law against it, maybe we can find our way around it.
Yeah, we'll find our way around it. So what do you make of yesterday, right back to form, right back into the same five stocks and mark it up a boatload?
You have Apple. You have, with the iPhone event, Amazon with its double Prime Day, and back, you know, forget about those other stocks, Chief. You just got to own those five, right? Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook. That's all you got to worry. It's all you need in your portfolio. Interesting time here, 3 weeks before the election, right back up near all-time highs. So Mr. Market's trying to get Trump reelected, but the polls are saying something interesting. It's going to be a very, very interesting 3 weeks coming up.
I would agree, and I think the Federal Reserve is doing their level best to get Trump back in.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I agree with you. But we'll see what the environment is in 3 weeks. But if you're looking at the polls, say one thing. If you look at historical statistics, when the stock market performs like this, you're getting another result. So we'll see who's going to turn out to be right, Chief.
What do you make of there was actually a discussion with a few of my whatever's last night. The cats that I hang with sometimes. How do you even do a poll now?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. Who wants to be close enough to someone else, right?
Well, I mean, you can't call home. I mean,
I don't ever answer my home phone. I don't know. I'd be interested to see that, Chief. That's one of the best questions of the day.
I mean, when Brexit lost in,
yep.
When leaving won, I don't know how the thing was worded, I forget, but when my anecdotal evidence said that this was going to be the outcome, and all the polls were the other way. Anyway, the so Joel, when's Michigan's first game? Then I got to let you go.
Couple weeks, 2 weeks from Saturday, we open up against the Gophers. It's a tough game on the road. I didn't even get to start to talk about my my hope here with the Michigan quarterback. We'll talk about him, Joe Milton.
Talk about him next week, bud.
That is the hopes for the Michigan season with a depleted offensive line. But we got a couple weeks to talk about.
All right, bud. Take care of yourself.
All right, go Blue.
Do we have Kenny? We'll just go right to Kenny.
We do.
Kenny, how are you, bud?
You.
Did you you get the word from the Fed 2 days ago and immediately run out and buy the same five stocks we've been buying for 2 years now?
No, I didn't get the word from the Fed. I wish I did, but I checked all my emails this morning. I didn't get anything.
How is it? How do we get ourselves up a notch? We get on his list.
I don't know. I think you have to be, you have to be within the group, right? The Goldman Group. You got to be in that group in order to get all the information.
I got a piece of information for you, Kenny, from years and years ago. Remember Reagan's guy? He was Secretary of Treasury, and he was Secretary of State. Was it Schultz?
Yeah,
real bright guy, and I think he might still be alive. I don't think he's dead, but anyway, he's up there. But he was on one of those Saturday morning talk shows, and I was, heading to take my mom to breakfast on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Nobody else was up, right? So he's on there, and they started asking him questions, Secretary of Treasury, blah blah blah, and they said to him, Secretary, how many people? I mean, we know that the president, has to know what the labor numbers are like 10 minutes before. So if he's walking out the Air Force One or Marine One, they can't say, what do they get the labor numbers? And he go, what labor numbers? You can't do that. He goes, but how many people know these numbers before they come out? And he goes, funny you should mention that. He must have talked about truth once in a while. He goes, when I got here, I asked the same question. And I get this list of what all these people's name on it. And I go, who the hell are all these people? And why are they on this list? He goes, I tried to take the names off. He goes, it was the hardest things I ever did in politics, and I gave up. That's what he said.
Yeah. We have that conversation all the time, because ahead of any policy announcement, ahead of any announcement that a president is going to make, ahead of anything that's going to cause a reaction in the market, you have to wonder, hey, who's aware of that announcement, pre the announcement? When were they made aware of that announcement? When was the announcement, discussed? Or when was that regulation that was going to be announced discussed? That's clearly going to be a market mover. And you and I talk about that, all the time, back and forth. The talks are on, the market rallies, and then the talks are off, the market sinks. The talks are on, the market rallies. And so how many people are taking advantage of that information? They know this information is coming out. They know that this is going to be said. It's going to move the market. And so it's a very, very, it's a slippery slope, right?
Without casting,
which is why I think none of them should have access to the market.
Well, without casting any aspersions, which I can't make the statement, if somebody didn't trade last week, one of Trump's sleazy hangers-on, if somebody didn't trade all these talks are off, and the next day they were back on. If somebody didn't trade that, I'm stunned. I lose my faith in the villain sleeves and scoundrels union or something. If somebody didn't trade that, I'd be stunned, Kenny. They not?
But I would too, and I think that speaks directly to why none of them should have access to the market. They shouldn't be able to trade themselves. They shouldn't be able to have an investment account in their name. They're all going to be blind. They should absolutely not have access to the markets. And I think that's a conversation that really needs to be had. And that's across that goes right across. Not just talking about the administration. I'm talking about everybody in Congress. None of them should be, in my opinion, allowed to have a trading account or an investment account that they control with information that they only know. Right? It's a huge conflict.
But how are you going to get those people that benefited by them to pass a rule to discipline themselves? It's not going to happen, Kenny.
Well, you're not. Is it right? You're not. I guess the only way I guess you can do it is you can find the ones that have abused it and parade them around and make them you know, make them a case so that everybody sees, but then they need to be punished.
But why, right? Why doesn't it's interesting. I was just talking about the what's said and not said on CNBC, and I'm not going to talk get bad or anything like that, but I wonder who's the controller. Now, I'm not talking about the producer or anything like that, but last week I was absolutely stunned by, they had a segment on some guy building houses in Virginia. I don't know if you saw it or not. He was talking about how there's such a demand for houses, they're raising, I can't remember what Kennedy said, they're raising the prices
every two weeks.
And he said the lumber is up 100% this year. And it couldn't have been seemingly hours later, they came out with a report on Home Depot's same store sales, and everybody's having, you know, they're ready to have a margarita party over that the same store sales are up 6%. How do you not ask the question, whoa. If lumber's up 100%, is 6% any good or not? Are you actually selling more 2x4s or not? Or the answer's got to be no. I mean, how do you not connect those two stories, Kenny?
Well, but wait a minute. But the builders are not buying the lumber from Home Depot, right?
A lot of them do.
Buying the lumber directly from the lumber yards, not from Home Depot.
But either way, if it's up 100% to them, it's got to be up 100% to you and me,
right?
So how? I mean, how do you not? There's stuff that people just don't, and all the stuff about the left and the right, and they'll argue over, you know, what if you got a zit on your nose or not. I mean, they'll bring that out, but they'll never say, God, this Kenny guy took all his money from this drug company, now he's voting for him. Because guess what? They did the same. There's like honor among thieves in a few sections that you can never go there. I mean, how else can I say it? That's a Southside way of saying it.
But that's honor among thieves. That's exactly the way it is, right?
I mean, how the lady can be? She sold all her stuff when she came out of the COVID thing, and her husband's the head of the NASDAQ. Or something. I mean, what are we doing, Kenny? I mean, because she's female, we can't do anything about it or something. I don't know. I mean, something's weird here. I mean, I don't. But anyway, what do you make of this? I mean, how much higher can we run?
Well, look. I mean, listen. I think the market. We've talked about this. I think the market is now in a place where a lot of the concerns that have been causing this anxiety for months are now really dissipating. Yes. Look, we're seeing a resurgence in COVID around the world. Yet the market's marching higher. Why? Because it assumes that we've made great progress on therapeutics. Yeah, there may be more people that are now being diagnosed with infections, but the pace at which those people are dying is in decline because of the therapeutics. We're close to getting a vaccine. You know, it's not a matter of if we're going to get one. It's just more a matter of when. And by most accounts, it appears to be springtime, early summer of next year. But in the meantime, therapeutics are improving, so that's causing less angst for the market. The election certainly causing less angst because the polls, and whether they're right or wrong, are now suggesting, you know, not only a Biden win, but potentially a Democratic sweep. And the market still seems to be okay with that because, you know, you get the likes of Goldman Sachs coming out going, you know, it's all good. We're great for Democratic sweep. It's going to be great for the markets. We're going to get a massive stimulus plan. It's going to flow right down to the bottom line, and everybody's going to benefit as a result. And so the increase in taxes is going to be well offset by the number of jobs it creates and blah, blah, blah. As, you know, Jan Hatzius and David Carson are vying for position in the cabinet, right? They go around carrying that blue flag. And so the markets appear to be okay. That angst that was been created, you know, between Trump and Biden really seems to be dissipating. Now, listen, it ain't over till it's over. But my sense is, at least from where I sit, and look, I'm in Florida. Florida is a swing state, right? And while a lot of people think that, you know, Florida's going to go for Trump, my guess is he might be surprised. It may not. And
may not.
I think that's the way it's going to be in those other swing states. I do think Biden's going to win. I'm still out on whether or not they take the executive branch, because then that's a whole other conversation. I do think if they take the executive branch, then I do think the market pauses for a bit and backs off until it gets a little bit more clarity. But if it's just a Biden win with a Republican Senate, I think the market continues to go high because there'll be gridlock, and the market's okay with gridlock.
It used to be. Awful lot of stuff needs to be done now, Kenny.
Yeah, well, no, listen, I agree, but I think gridlock, in this case, gridlock is going to be better than a sweep by one party controlling the whole branch. So,
don't disagree. I just, it's funny, obviously it would not be, it's probably not great entertainment for my show, but let alone to talk about it all day. Clearly, you want to talk about the things you just did, what the market loves and doesn't love, and why it might be going up, and talk about different areas in the market that are doing better versus vis-a-vis other areas. You know what, Kenny? To me, how can I say this diplomatically? That's all BS. If not BS, it's all window dressing. If California is going to fall in the river tomorrow, and the Fed puts in another $1 trillion, the market's going to go up.
Right.
It's all about them pouring money in. $1 trillion is a lot of money, even for the market, and then they're doing it like every other week. And the weird part is, go ahead.
They talk about $1 trillion like, you know, like it's $100 million like it used to be. They throw around $1 trillion numbers like that's no big deal.
My concern in a lot of ways is, notice, Kenny, every time they throw in $1 trillion, it doesn't have the same effect as $1 trillion before it. This trillion.
Well, that's right. It's like anything, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like a drug. You take a drug, and all of a sudden, one pill doesn't work, you got to take two. And then two doesn't work, you got to take three. Right? The same way as they talk about money and stimulus and the size of the package. Look, I think the sense is now that Nancy Pelosi is playing, you know, this little cat and mouse game where she's not going to come up with a package that she's going to approve prior to the election because she's banking on a Biden win and she's banking on a Democratic sweep. And if that's the case, watch the package that comes out then. It'll be bigger than the $3.4 trillion they originally wanted.
But but the thing that happens, Kenny, I think, is once you're, quote, in charge, you don't want to be blamed for stuff. Another $3 trillion at this point is another 2 years of tax receipts in 1 week.
Listen, loud and clear, I hear you, but they're running on that model. They're running on the model that not only they're gonna launch this massive stimulus package, but they're also going to increase the taxes. And listen, when he says taxes aren't going, you know, I'm not raising taxes on anyone making under $400,000 a year, that's baloney too, because there'll be an assortment of other taxes that attack everybody. So say it for what it is, taxes are going up across the board.
Kenny, you can't answer this question. I wish you could. How is it that our people can be so friggin' ignorant that in order to keep the country going, you got to send people a $1,200 check that you're just printing off the printing press, yet the next week you can assume they have so much money they can pay you more in taxes?
Right.
I mean, is that about it?
I mean, I don't understand it. I'm not an economist. I don't understand what they're thinking. I certainly don't work at Goldman Sachs, and, you know, the Goldman guys are driving the bus, as they always do. And so it's frustrating. And so look what's happening. Once again, you got Goldman rising to the top, you know, spitting their thoughts out, trying to create a tax plan that they now are suggesting. Not a big deal. You know, the stimulus is going to create so much work and so much, and so much business, the taxes are going to be inconsequential. And I think that's below.
It may create nominal work. And when you deflate your currency or you degrade your currency, what they're looking to do is pay this debt back at 50 cents on the buck because the currency is
inflated away.
And if people are so stupid to let them do that, we're going to end up with guns and bullets, I think.
Well, but you know, there's the argument too for term limits. I hate to say it. You know, the president's got a 2 year term limit. I think everybody in Congress should have a 2-time term limit, and that's it. You got these career politicians to do what?
I wouldn't, you know, Kenny, I don't feel on that one. You and I could have a long adult beverage conversation on that because I would rather see some changes in Congress to where the person on top, I don't see where, when I read the Constitution, I don't read it that often, I don't see where Nancy Pelosi has this kind of power and the other 434 people are like, flotsam and jetsam. If you and I are sitting there, we better be drinking heavily. What would we do if we're freshman representatives? Do we do anything?
No, well, I don't know what you do. I guess you just fall in line, right? I mean, clearly it's a time and grade thing. But I think, you know, listen, she's 80 years old. And congratulations, she's 80 years old. I think that's great. But honestly, she's been a career politician, and I think she's got to move out of the way. She's not going to be around when this
She's a career politician that's fed money to her husband for 40 years.
Correct.
Which is
not going to be around when this bill comes due.
So explain to me, real quick, before we get into this, let's get into a sexist rant here. If we don't like the guys, Phil Graham, who's a schmuck who's in the Senate, McConnell, if we don't like them filtering money to their wives,
yeah,
okay, and if we put a woman in there, it's going to be different. How is it different? She's filtering money to her husband. Women are just as crooked as guys.
It's no different. Yeah. It's no different.
It's okay. We need a bunch of crooked women for a change instead of a bunch of crooked guys. God. Kenny, on that note, talk to you next week, buddy. SP Futures down 350. NASDAQ Futures up 107. We'll be back, Mr. Carl Denninger, in a rare Tuesday appearance.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind.
Okay, Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. She's AV. A little more of that song than we normally hear, but it's still appropriate. Not sure what's happening here. Carl, are you with us? We don't seem to have Carl.
Yes, you do.
Oh, you do. That song is still very, shall we say, it's still current. What's happening here?
Well, I don't know. Which are we looking at now?
Well, name me everything. Hey, I didn't want to. I mentioned earlier all these Hall of Famers that are croaking. What the hell? I was looking at Whitey Ford's stats. I didn't realize that he lost 2 years in the Korean War. He didn't play.
Oh wow! I didn't know that. Okay.
When he was getting a little older, I remember an interview after he all retired, and Elston Howard was his catcher his last few years. And Elston, back in those days, they didn't just throw baseballs out after, like, they touched the ground, right? So he actually played with a ball for you know, a few pitches.
And Elston, right.
And Elston Howard used to sharpen one of the buckles on his knee or his leg protectors, what do you call those things, the catchers put on. And he would rub the baseball up again, and he would cut a little slit in the side. So if you put that slit up top on your fastball, you get it to move. Sneaky. Yeah. Sneaky fellows.
Okay.
You know, sneaky fellows. They were those Yankees. That's why they had a movie about them. Damn Yankees. Remember? With Lola, Lola wants and Lola gets. What a great movie. The guy who was in it was the, wasn't the devil. He was the guy who played that My Favorite Martian, I think. Tell us his name.
Oh.
Was the guy would give up his life for the, just to beat the Yankees once. He was a Senator fan. It's un-American to want them, unless you're from New York, to want the Yankees to win, right?
Well, you know, yeah, aren't there enough reasons to not want New York anything to, anyway.
No, you can't want the Astros to win either after last year.
Yeah, well, that's true.
How much you want to bet the White Sox hire Joey Cora the day he's off suspension? After firing Ricky Renteria for God knows what reason yesterday.
I don't think I'd take that bet.
You don't think they will?
No, I'm saying I wouldn't take the other side of that.
Yeah. All right, Carl, we're right back to pouring money in the system, pouring money into five stocks yesterday. I thought that script was in the drawer for a while, but it's right back out. Is there an end to
this? You know, I got to wonder this is one of the most baffling things that I think I have ever seen. It's clearly a momentum play at this point. I mean, that's, you know, it's the old thing. You look at the market, you see a particular stock go up, so you buy it because it's going up, right? I mean, you know, that's as old as the stock market is. But there's a certain point at which you look at it and you go, excuse me, I get it that these are all in, to one degree or another, monopolist businesses, you know, Facebook, Amazon. How is it that we keep re-rating this on the premise that they're not only going to take over the world to the degree that they have, but that they're going to be able to continue to do this on an indefinite forward basis forever and ever and ever and ever more, which, by the way, if it happens, means that everybody else dies, all the other businesses that would compete with them in some way die. And what does that do to employment, and what do you buy the products and services with?
Carl, I don't know if you were listening, like the last couple of minutes with Kenny. I don't know if you listen, but Kenny's terrific. We're talking about how we have it's not just the Democrats. We're dying to give people $1,200 and to throw this money in there because we think people are dying. Yet the minute we send them to $1,200, we're going to raise taxes on everybody. I mean, how are they both can't get through the day without you sending them a check, yet a week from now be able to pay more taxes? I mean, are people that collectively stupid?
Yes.
I think the answer
what's even worse is that when you look at what we, you know, you look at the Treasury statement and what we've done and the extra load that we've placed in areas of the budget like Medicare and Medicaid. And we did this intentionally. I mean, this, you know, let's give a hospital $14,000 if they say you have COVID. And the amount of money that flowed out of government coffers in order to do that, it boggles the mind that people think that somehow this has no end and we can keep playing this game forever and there's never going to be a bad consequence from any of it. I think one of the most, you know, one of the most baffling things, one of the people on my forum brought this up, and it's kind of nasty, but there may be some truth to it. If you're New York's governor, or if you're Illinois' governor, or if you're Michigan's governor, and you have a whole bunch of, or New Jersey's for that matter, and you have a whole bunch of people that are on firefighter and police department pensions, and their health care because you can work 20 years and retire, and so you're 40 and, you know, you have a pension for the rest of your life, right? Along with free health care on the backs of the taxpayer. And this is strangling you. What is one of the best ways to thin out that group of people and the expense? And the answer is kill them.
That would work.
So what did we do in New York when we shoved a whole bunch of sick people into nursing homes? What did we do in Michigan? What did we do? Oh, boy, you take a look at who's got the budgetary problems with these pension plans, everything else, and then you look at the correlation between those states and what happened in March and April, And you tell me that doesn't make a, that that does not make an argument for manslaughter charges?
Carl, it's I would agree. It's all the way across the board. I mean, you look at Illinois' pension. Okay, we've decided we can't fight it in the courts. Of course, that should not even be in an Illinois court because the Illinois courts are in the same pension plan. So how they don't recuse themselves, I have no idea. But if I can't diminish the $4,000, I'm sending Carl Denninger every month by any statute, or $5,000 or $8,000 or whatever the number is. If I can't diminish the $5,000, the only thing I can do is double the amount of money in the system, so the $5,000 is now worth $2,500. And it's interesting to me, and Kevin, he's on 2 days a week. I love him. And he's not, I know he's not totally into this group, but I'll put him up there anyway because then he'll be mad and he'll fight with me. It'll be good radio. The idea that people should only go to school and learn how to do, supply chain management, to be a welder, to be a computer person, and not learn any of this other stuff. I'm a little different in the sense that I went, well, in a lot of ways, but in the sense that I, had the good fortune to go to Notre Dame, to go to the University of Chicago, and learn about this kinds of stuff. I mean, not many people were able to land in a class with Milton Friedman and those kinds of things. But the fact is, when I talk, even like in an adult emporium, Carl, and I start talking about degrading currency and how when the Fed's doing what it's doing, all it's doing is making the stuff when you... People that have been to college, that have good jobs, that make a lot of money, attorneys, everybody, look at me like I got four heads, Carl. I don't believe...
You're not the only one. I went through this. I used to do all employee meetings when I ran MCS, where I laid out what was actually, what your real hourly wage would be if I didn't have to fork all this money up to the government in one form or another. Okay, each of which I had to withdraw your check. Now, it was illegal, and still is, for me to list a lot of that on your pay stub. So I can't, for example, it is against the law to list, for example, the unemployment, federal and state unemployment, call them contributions.
Your
right?
share. You can't put your share in there.
That's right. I cannot put it on there. I cannot show you that I had to deduct this many dollars. And it did come out of your pay. I can't take it off your check.
Right.
But nonetheless, however, the way you can skirt that, if you're an employer, is that you can have an all-employee meeting where you take all the averages and you put them together and divide by the number of people, and, here's how much, on average, I have to fork up for X. Okay? Because you're not disclosing any information and you're not doing anything that's banned. The thing is that the number of people that just had their jaws on the table, around the conference table, with the dirty thing, was unbelievable. And all these people are like, wait a minute. So you're saying that, like, $3 an hour is more is what I should have been? Well, yeah.
Well, that's what, when I constantly am ragging is the right word, about when you listen to the people on TV, and the guys you're going to listen to on any kind of radio or TV. The reason why, in my opinion, the healthcare piece of the CPI never gets any traction is because the people who control the press don't realize it because they're getting theirs paid for by somebody else. And if they had a meeting like you're just talking about and said, well, Joe, in the last 20 years, if this hadn't gone up so much, you're making $150,000, you'd be making $180,000.
Right.
Which is pretty close to the truth, right? $175,000 maybe. And again, he'd look at you like you had four heads, right? But you're right. How is it that something that's 20% of the GDP has been 6% in the CPI for 20 years and they've gotten away with it? They've gotten away with it because the people who talk to you, the people who matter, let's put it that way, and I really do mean that, the people who matter have it paid for by somebody else and they don't feel it. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, I think that's right. And this is also part of the reason that you have this fiction that you only pay half of your Social Security tax,
right?
Right, and the Medicare tax. There's this convenient fiction which, of course, anybody who's self-employed knows is BS, because we have to pay both halves.
Right.
But there's this idea that, oh, you don't pay that, the employer pays that. And, you know, what I used to point out to people is, well, you know, I tell you exactly how much money that is. If that one's on your pay stub, double it, because that second piece is, if it didn't have to be paid in, that's money that you'd get paid. And people are like, well, no, it wouldn't. Like, well, yes, it would, because if I didn't pay you, the guy down the street would, and you wouldn't work for me anymore.
Carl, it's I'm not going to go down this. AV, hit the bleep button on me if this sounds too sexist, but it isn't. It's not. My first job, Carl, was at the OIB Analyst.
It's probably going to be sexist. I know.
My first job was at Allied Van Lines, of all places. And the reason for that was not because I really wanted to pack furniture trucks, was they were looking for somebody. My specialty, and well, I wanted to be my specialty in grad school, was small business, right? So they were looking for a guy to go around and you know, back in those days, you couldn't just move somebody's furniture from one state to another unless you had the paper. You couldn't be a cartage company and take a box from Illinois to Wisconsin unless you had the paper. So what Allied Van Lines did is hook together all these smaller moving and storage companies under one umbrella so they could go wherever they wanted. Anyway, so but every place you needed to have an agency. In other words, if you were moving to Tennessee, say, well, we needed to have an Allied agent in Tennessee to take care of you when you got there, somebody to unpack your stuff. Anyway, so my job was to try and figure out the health of all these agents, and if they didn't have health, I was supposed to go out and consult and help them out, right? Well, anyway, Allied was a great place to work in that regard. And they had all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't have thought that you would do. They had more outbound, inbound Watts lines than damn near anybody but Merrill Lynch, right? Because you're calling truckers on the road. But they had this group of ladies that worked there that were absolutely terrific. And they, back before you had computers and everybody's typing and everything. But when you talk to somebody, they would say, I'd say, well, did you get a raise? And they'd say, yeah. And they'd go, well, how much? Well, I'm taking home another 40 a week. That's not what I asked. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, it's not what I asked. But the best was one of the young ladies, she was terrific. She went out and buys a new car because she got her raise. And she drives the old jalopy in. This is back when cars lasted, you know, 3 years. So she drives the old jalopy in and she drives out in this nice new car. Well, you know, it wasn't like, you know, Cadillac or anything. But she's happy as a clam with the thing. And I said, well, how much did it cost? I don't know. How much did you get? Now, of course, me, I would want the absolute price I'm paying for the new one, and I want to know exactly what you're paying me for the old one to know whether I could sell it myself or not. And she basically walked in and said, I like that car. And the guy says, well, what's your payment on your old car? You know, it's $100 a month. How much can you afford? Well, I got this raise. I can afford $150. If I can get you in that car for $150, will you drive out with it today? Absolutely. And she did. I said, so you don't know how much you paid, how much you got for the old one. Why do I care? I know I can pay $150. I like my new car. I learned to shut up.
See, that's how all of these things that are falling apart, when you look at, like, for example, the whole Medicare and Medicaid thing and the health insurance, you know, fiasco and Obamacare and everything else, that's the whole problem. The question isn't what did you get and how much did you spend, which is what the question always ought to be.
Right.
You know, I mean, I want a new washing machine. Well, how much does it cost, right? No. The answer is, well, you got $20 a month, right? You know, and the thing is, when you look at all of this that's going on right now, and all these predictions of doom and gloom that have been made with so much of what we've spent. If we don't do this, the world is going to come to an end because we have to maintain these constraints. We have to maintain these mask orders and social distancing, and you can't have a restaurant open with more than four people in it. And da 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 da. Okay, so Ron DeSantis down in Florida, almost a month ago now, almost 3.5 weeks, turns around and says, "Bite me! All that stuff is out the window. It's all unenforceable by executive order. Have a nice day." And that night, literally within an hour, I start seeing stuff show up in social media feeds from my old stomping grounds down around Fort Walton saying, hey, we're open, all the bar stools are back, come out and have fun, right?
Hey,
well, guess what? There has not been a single spike in one set of statistics from anywhere within the state.
Carl, where do you stand on, yesterday was like the third or fourth person now that has seemingly some cachet saying that the virus has totally changed, it's nowhere near as deadly as it was 6 months ago.
The data is that there has been a significant change since the March-April timeframe. If you look at it, on a national basis. Okay, so if I take a look at the total national data, because I've been tracking this stuff since it started, the mortality rate on a 10-day lag from alleged date of infection has come way down. But the problem is there's a lot of confounding factors in there. All right, for example, we're not shoving sick people in nursing homes and murdering them anymore. So that's a problem. What I haven't seen in the last three, four months is large changes in that number on a CFR minus 10 basis. So if I look at that right now, that rate looks on a rolling average, a 7-day rolling average in the United States, looks like about 1.6-1.7%, which sounds terrible. And when you compare against flu, which is 0.1, right? Except we're only catching about 1 out of 10 or CDC is now saying 1 in 11.
Well, the dude yesterday was saying the amount of cases that test positive, they're asymptomatic, is growing dramatically.
Well, yeah, but here's the problem with that. All right, and this is part of the issue with how we're doing this testing. There's the expansion with viruses in terms of the actual amount of virus in your body is exponential. Each turn of viral growth is anywhere, depending on the species of virus, is anywhere between 1,000 and 100,000 times. And the average turn time is somewhere between 8 and 72 hours, again, depending on the virus. So the problem with these tests is that they cannot detect the difference between a piece of virus and a complete and infectious virus, because a virus not only has to have all the RNA to be infectious, it also has to have what's called a capsid, which is that lipid envelope around the outside of it. And without that, it's not infectious. So once you get infected and your body gets it under control and kills it, there's a 2 or 3 week period of time, sometimes longer, where these tests will detect virus, but it's not really there. What they're detecting is the debris that's in your body that is being cleaned up by your system. And you can't infect anybody. So we are having a huge number of people that are coming up positive that really aren't positive. They had the infection, it was asymptomatic, and it was 4 weeks ago, and yet they popped positive tests.
Well, you remember, I think it was part of, God, we send so much stuff back and forth among our group, but do you remember the Italian doctor in May that said that he thought that the mutation made the virus more contagious and less deadly, and that was in May.
Well, that's expected behavior. That's what natural selection does.
Right, because it gets to more people, but if you kill them, it doesn't do any good.
Well, that's right, and that's one of the reasons that SARS died out. The original SARS was that it made you so sick that it failed to get anybody else. Because you literally couldn't walk.
Yeah, you couldn't go anywhere.
So what were your odds that you were going to infect another person before it killed you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're heading home. They didn't have to tell you to self-quarantine.
That's right. I mean, it killed a third of the people that got it. But the thing is, it was so deadly and made you so sick that it basically killed itself.
Do you mind? Let's switch back to the Fed for a second. The more they pour stuff out, if you look at Fed behavior, really going back to the 60s is more what I, you know, that's kind of where I drop off on it. Other than that, if somebody has a question, I look in my economic or monetary history of the United States and I try and read what happened in that area. But by and large, it's the thing that obviously has to worry anybody who looks at this stuff, which isn't very many people, everything has it's almost like an equal and opposite reaction, right? I mean, jumping off a diving board is good. Hitting the pool on your stomach is not so good. Every time the Fed does this, every time they expand, the market goes up. I mean, you go back to 1968 or 9 when they started doing it to pay for the Vietnam War, when we came off, the Bretton Woods, went off the gold standard so we could pay for
right.
it. I mean, the market started going up, and all of a sudden we got inflation. Oh, God, we cut back. Every time they put money in, we go up, and every time they start pulling it out, we go down. It happened, 2 years ago, the Fed, when Powell first came in, he was going to try and get, he started raising the rates a little bit, and started dragging some money out. We went flying down. Was this the last quarter of 18, right?
Yeah.
Well, right now, what do you suppose happens? Well, what is the degree if one of these days, and I, you know, weird part is, Carl, I hope I wasn't that right in advance, because if I was, I'm a total idiot for not just being balls out long the market since then. I thought that this was only going to end when one of these days one of our guys slips and we have a CPI number of like 1.5% or something, or even the Fed's going to go, wait a minute, you know, we can't let that happen. Or because somebody will start pounding on them like, you idiots, you went too far. Anyway, I really believe that that's... But what do you suppose happens today when your buddies from Goldman Sachs, instead of getting the normal call, and say, go buy me, you know, $1 billion worth of bonds before 10 o'clock, and the call comes and says, not only am I not buying $1 billion, I'm selling $1 billion. I got to believe the market takes a nosedive like it did in 2018. I mean with every time, and you look at the reason why the top in the last bubble was 2000 was, guess what, in the last 3 months of 1999, because of Y2K, the Fed poured unconscionable amounts of money into the market, right? Or into the economy.
Yeah.
Hoping to save, allegedly to save you and I from going to our machine and not having any cash in there. And where did it go? It went in every dot-bomb company, right?
On the market. Yeah, it went into all kinds between the last five IPOs, we're claiming the entire global GDP over the next 2 years.
Yeah, it went in right into there. And as soon as they started to pull it out, guess what? We crapped out. So somewhere, I mean, what they're doing now, if we pop out another $2 trillion, that's going to make, what, $7 trillion this year, calendar year, or somewhere along those lines. It's going to have less of an effect of the last $2 trillion. And one of these days, I mean, are we really going to accept some massive inflation to where somebody's $2,000 Social Security doesn't even pay rent in a bleep hole?
No, that's where the problem comes from, because when you look at, you know, this, I mean, when you get down to it, this is kind of low-level social unrest that we're getting right now, right? I mean, you know, you got looting down Mag Mile, and, you know, Portland's on fire every third night, you know, this sort of thing. But when you really look at it, it's relatively low-level. Now, you take the common person and displace them so they have nothing left to lose, and the entire city burns. Well, that's the danger that you have, is that this thing gets out of control. And you'd like to believe that if the Fed sees it coming, which, of course, you know, last time, gee, they were really in front of it, right?
Yeah.
Not.
Well, it's hard to be in front of anything when you live in a limousine.
Yeah, it is. And that's part of the other problem, too. You know, you look at the stuff that's going on with this COVID stuff, and do you think Jeff Bezos cares about COVID? He loves it. His net worth has doubled in the last 8 months. I mean, come on. Why does he care? Man. On the other hand, the poor SOB who was a server in a bar and saw their income go to zero, then they got $600 a week to sit at home and get stoned, and that was okay for a little while, but then the $600 ends, and they supposedly go back to work. They're getting jack and nothing for tips because all the people in the place are bent because they're being told they have to wear masks. They have to wear masks. They're getting bacterial infections all the time. They say, you know what, this is a blankety-blanking job.
Yeah.
But what else are they going to do? All right, those people got screwed.
Yep. Carl, we're going to break here in a second, but here's a question I want you to ponder. If, in fact, the disease is getting, the treatments are getting better, and say the disease is less deadly than it was 6 months ago. Let's say it got a lot less deadly. Do you think it's possible for the politics and the drug companies and the government to come to that realization and stand down? I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see, this is why 50 state political laboratories are so important, because we just saw, you know, less than a month ago, we saw DeSantis do this in Florida. And he is going to wipe the floor with every state that refuses to go along with it over the next 6 to 12 months.
Well, you're never going to get that to happen here. Lori and Jay are so into this. It's their politics. They couldn't, if you passed around an aspirin today and everybody who had it was cured, they wouldn't know what to do. They can't stand up.
Yeah, well, what happens when all the businesses say, you know what, stuff this, and they leave?
Well, it's SP Futures down 6, NASDAQ Futures up 101. I'm Tom Howey, Mr. Carl Denninger. She's AV on the board. Be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. She's AV on the board. We have Mr. Carl Denninger and a rare Tuesday appearance. S&P futures down on 6.25. NASDAQ, however, still up 108. We got stuff up. We got the Qs up another 3. You know, these things just have to keep going. It's just what they do. We have Amazon up another 42 bucks, 40, 50 bucks a day. What's the difference? Dow futures down 127. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 81.6%, FTSE down 6.1%, CAC around down 18.4. So kind of across the board negative in Europe, but not very much. Asia, Nikkei up 43.2%. Shanghai up 1, call that flat. Hang Seng, exactly flat. I wonder how many times that happens. Just for a review, yesterday's huge rally. Dow Jones up 250.9%, S&P up 57.1.6, NASDAQ up 296, 2.5%. Again, concentrated in the five stocks, the five fangs plus Microsoft. Bonds, 0.74, 10-year rate. The Bund, minus 0.55. Japan, positive 0.03. Oil, rallying today up to almost 2%. $40.18, that's up 75 cents. Brent up 62 cents, 42.34. Natural gas down 5 cents, 282. RBOB, 119. We've got gold down 230 at 1926. Silver down 19 cents, still over 25 hours, 2507. Copper down 2 cents, still over 3 hours, 304. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning, friends. It's 47 degrees outside, sunny and clear throughout the day, high around 70 and 46 at night. No precipitation is expected. And Phoenix is back to near record high temperatures, high 101 and 67 at night. All lanes are still remain blocked at Foster following a crash involving CPD. Traffic is increasing on Lakeshore Drive north from East Jackson to I-55 and 94 East from East Ohio North Orleans to West Monroe, experiencing some delays as well. As 94 West from I-55 to Roosevelt, some traffic jam as well. Other than that, no delays.
If you're going to the airport, I'd turn back if I were you.
No.
Well, it's still blocked, isn't it, the Kennedy?
Yeah, but there's like other ways to go around.
Oh, God. Yeah, by like if you're a bird. Thank you. Carl, I have questions for you coming off my over my phone, for God's sake. I want to ask you about the guys who were on 60 Minutes on Monday night, but what's the... Are you familiar with the Stand Up Michigan movement?
Yeah, a little bit.
Just not much. They're what are those guys doing? You know, if you don't know.
Well, it's basically a freedom rally kind of thing. It's a group of people that are trying to get rid of Whitmer's orders, but yeah, at least that's what I've, you know, what I understand. But here's the thing. Whitmer lost in the state Supreme Court. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, if you thumb your nose at the highest court in the state, the highest one that can hear your complaint, you've run out of appeals. It's like, you know, I mean, if it's a federal question, you go to eventually the U.S. Supreme Court, right? You go to the Supreme Court and you lose. What is the next thing that the people have available to them if you refuse to stand down at the point that you lose there? You don't want the answer to that question. It's not a good answer.
Clearly, Carl, is one of my favorite guests. You're unclear on the concept of this new power-hungry generation. Do you think Tony Preckwinkle, Lori Lightfoot, Jay Pritzker, do you think they pay attention to anything like that if it goes against them? That clearly it's wrong. These are like the 5-year-olds that have never been told no.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's the 2-year-old that wants another candy bar, right? And this though, we are supposed to be a nation of laws and a nation of government, and if you and I have a dispute and we get into it and we can't settle it like gentlemen, then instead of having a duel out in the middle of the street, we're supposed to take it into a courtroom, right?
Right.
That's the premise behind a civilization. And if you deny, as part of the government, the authority of that very system of government to render those decisions, you do not want to know where that ends up.
We have, yesterday I was on probably more of a rant than I should have been. I got some other stuff I want to talk to you about here, but and I was ranting about how in my business, meaning the money management brokerage business, the world has decided they have nothing better to do but come down on this group huge. Every time you make a trade, you're stealing from somebody. You know, I mean, it's bizarre where the regulation has gone. And I mean, I think you know me well enough that I would never come on the air and say, jeez, I make it 25% no matter what, you know, in the blindfold. And, you know, I would never do that. And B, it isn't true. And I would never lie to anybody, really. That's just not my nature. And that's why I'm sitting here doing this podcast on that national TV, probably. I don't get how these people, the Jay Pritzkers of the world, run commercials that will tell people that with the new amendment that you're supposed to go for, that 97% of the people in the state are going to get a tax decrease. Carl, that is so friggin' untrue. I don't, I mean, I'm beside myself with it. And yet, 2 years from now, if it is untrue, and all these people start getting raises on their retirement and everything else, where's the regulatory people going back at Jay saying, you put this commercial in? It was unfair. It was untruth in advertising. By the way, you're getting fined. Your fat behind is going to jail. I mean, how is it that the laws only go down from these people? They never go up. I want to know where do I get, A, the mentality to think that way, that I'm above the law, and B, get a job like that?
Well, the way you get the mentality is that the people allow it to happen. And this is the corrosive nature of how republics ultimately fail. They devolve into dictatorships by fiat, not because the law gets changed to allow it, but because the people refuse to stand up and say, we're not putting up with that. We have a set of rules that we have to follow. I can't go 100 miles an hour down the highway without going to jail. Well, then you don't get to do it either. And the thing is that if the people of the country, not some lone nut, but the people en masse are not willing to stand up and say, well, no. Right?
But how do you do that? I mean, you get the commercials that say, go ahead and vote. All right. I never thought the man deserved being in the Oval Office, being Trump. I hoped for the best because I really would like to have seen an independent, third-party sort of guy become president in my lifetime and turn this hellbound train around. And he got in there, and what did he do? He poisoned the well for anybody like that, clearly in my lifetime, ever again. So now I either have to pick him again, which is problematic, or I have to go to another direction where a Democratic Party that I used to be a serious part of is going a direction I can't even describe. Now, so this is my choice. This is democracy. This is one more party than Russia, for God's sake. I mean,
that's one of the big problems, I think, is that what we have right now, and, you know, America has always been a two-party country, okay? I mean, you know, there's one party has been displaced before by a second. But we have never, for any material length of time in our political environment in this country, had a multi-party parliamentary kind of system like you see in some other nations. It's always been a two-party system. And yet, what we have now, I mean, this is, the choices have been stark before, and it has been difficult to say, well, when McCain was running, I couldn't vote for John McCain. I didn't want to vote for Obama. So, you know, I got two bad choices as far as I'm concerned. This is 100 times worse.
Yeah.
Because now I've got a guy who claims that he was the savior of the United States with a virus that comes through. The evidence is that all he did was put 10 million people out of work and screw everybody that makes less than $30,000 a year.
Yep.
Okay, that's the evidence. I don't care whether you like it or not. That's the evidence. And, oh, by the way, all the people who are running monopolist-based businesses, the Zuckerbergs and the Bezoses, everybody else, they are laughing their head off at the fact that the people of this country, 330 million Americans, sit there and not only put up with this, but keep buying their stuff.
They love it. They love it.
Okay.
They love it. I mean,
they think we're the dumbest rubes that have ever been invented on the face of the planet. And I don't care what anyone says about them not wanting Trump to win. Like blankety blank, they don't. They've gotten ridiculously rich because of what he's done.
Well, they did. They did well under Obama too. I mean,
look. I mean, come on, double your net worth in what, 7 months?
But when you can give the population for $100 a year, you give them a few free TV shows, and they'll buy from you the entire year. No matter what,
yeah.
Even if the prices are better somewhere else, if you get that blind loyalty for giving people the Three Stooges, for God's sake, you know what? Maybe people deserve what they get. I don't know. I hope they don't, but you got to wonder.
Well, you got the same thing though with Netflix. Okay, Reed Hastings and Netflix. The entire reason that company exists today is because Obama forced everyone who didn't want his service to subsidize the build out.
Right.
And that was a direct piece of government interference. And I've gotten into it with people about this before. Look, I know what I'm talking about here. This used to be my line of work. It's what I did.
Yep.
I know exactly how he built that company, and it was entirely done on your back. And if you happen to be one of the people that wanted Netflix, well, then, you know, you made out okay. But everybody else got hosed, and the same thing happened here. if you were working from home for the last 6 months, you probably thought this was great. You got to get up and go to work in your pajamas and drink all the coffee and, you know, yeah. pet the cat. Well, guess what? My niece was stocking Meijer shelves in Michigan, so you didn't starve.
Right.
Oh, the guy that lived next door to her was sitting at home smoking bong hits all day.
The class consciousness of this that somehow people don't quite get. I mean, every time somebody's talking about how they should be able to stay home for another 6 months, and I'm going, wait a minute. Your mail's showing up. Your Amazon's showing up. You think those guys
well, are... exactly.
By the way, your sandwich shows up. Your garbage gets taken
by the way, the grocery store is open.
Well, I don't think people think those... It's become a class mentality. Those are the serfs. We don't care about them.
Well, you know, I don't know if you caught this, but Joe Biden actually said, I was able to stay safe because a black woman went and stocked the grocery store shelves.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, if I was one of those people, you just guaranteed I'm not voting for you.
Well, it could be one or the other. Again,
but what is the alternative? Because guess what? Guess who made me go do that? The guy who's in office now. So what alternative did you give me?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what state. I'm going to say most of the stuff that happened in Illinois was not Trump's doing.
Well, except that here's the thing. Without the enabling orders that Trump put in place, none of that would have happened.
But I mean, if I go to the health club tonight,
did that and got federal money as a result.
But if I go to the health club tonight outside the city of Chicago, once you make it to your machine that is 6 feet apart from any other machine anybody can be on, and you're on your bike or your treadmill, you can take your mask off. In the city, you cannot. That's a Lori Lightfoot dictatorship.
Yeah, but here's the thing, okay? There's a concert venue out in St. Charles, the Arcata Theater, that I like, that I've been to several shows from. They're still not open again. Now, how about all the acts and all the people that were employed there and the bartenders and the servers and the ushers and everything? Those people are still hosed, and it's been how long?
Nobody cares about them, Carl.
Well, I understand that, but you know what? That's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Yeah.
These are the people who are getting hosed, and yet... The Jeff Bezoses of the world, and let's face it, the white collar guy who doesn't have to go into the office, he hasn't been hurt at all.
Right. Well, unless you have a couple weeks ago, some group over here, a trading firm, told everybody to come in on a Friday and fired everybody. You're starting to see that happening, but you could never get the people that you seem convinced someday will actually rise up and do something. You could never get the people to be chipped between their shoulders like a dog, right? Maybe you could.
Yeah.
But you can get them to carry a phone around and do the same thing.
Well, yeah, where does it end is the thing, is that without the people collectively deciding that they've had enough of this, and, not a few nuts, it takes a mass of the population. If you had a general strike tomorrow... by all of the employees that make it possible for you to go get groceries, and they said, we're not going to show up for the next 2 weeks, all of this would be over in a day.
Right. But you can't, we're kind of talking a difference, but I mean, you can't, if you have an argument, it's not even an argument, it's not even a discussion, it's over in a second. If I say, why do you have to pay, why do you have to let the world know that you just bought a coffee at 7-Eleven? Can't you...
Right.
Why can't you pull a buck and a half out of your pocket? Are you too friggin' lazy? Yeah, I'll trade somebody knowing whatever I've done every minute of the day for convenience every day. So if somebody tells you that, why do you and I have to look out for them?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, people are like, well, you know, go get off your butt and do something. I say, well, what, I'm going to go to war for this?
Well, I mean, the Illinois... the toll road, somewhere when the thing got passed when they were doing the easy pass or whatever.
Right.
It's a long time ago, Carl, but I think somehow it got sold that the records were going to be held for 90 or 120 days or something, and that's it. And by the way, there's no reason to hold them because you pay in advance. You got to give
Once you paid, you paid. What's the,
No, but you pay me the money. I have to give them $40.
Right, you have to put the money in the transponder. Yeah,
and then they decided that they were going to track people down, not track people down, have transponder readers off the tollway. Now, you might say, why exactly would a tollway authority do that? Now, the ridiculous, stupid excuse is, if there's a backup on the tollway, we want to know where people that normally take the tollway, what their alternate routes are and what effect it has. Do we think they really care about that, Carl? Now,
well, some of it's that, but the other reason is the obvious one,
yeah,
right?
So, but now the stuff is not being deleted.
And of course not.
I read somewhere that in some significant percentage of divorce cases that those records are brought into court. Geez, this guy Carl every Tuesday morning seemed to go out to someplace in Humphrey, Illinois, at 10 every Tuesday morning. Now, I don't even think it's possible, Carl, for even if we had a regular governor, which we'll never have, we had the goofball Republican, and we got this guy. Even if the governor said, you know what, here's what the law says. This is, I'm talking about you. You just said, I want all this stuff after 90 days. I want it gone. That's what the law says. I don't think they would pay any attention to him, Carl. Somebody somewhere would take a thumb drive home. Somebody would find out about it. It would be subpoenable. I don't think these people pay attention. I mean, as you know, I'm no Trump fan. But I don't think the people in Washington paid any attention to the man. I don't think the press gave him any kind of a... I mean, of course, he was his own worst enemy there. I don't think they gave him fair coverage. And I don't like the guy. But I don't think that's... I've tried to point out where I thought were his weaknesses, and if he did something right, I was quick to give credit. I think the weakness side was stacked up higher than the right side. But I never went out of my way to lie about the guy. Or why? That's not my job. Yet all these other people seem to think it is. Why?
Well, I think it's this is part of the process that has been egged on for all eternity. But the social media and electronic lifestyle, if you will, has made amplification of that sort of thing so much easier. You know, demonization of the other side politics is nothing new. There have been a couple of duels there was a duel in the well in the Senate, for crying out loud, back in the 1800s. These kinds of things happen. Political animus is not a new thing. It's been around as long as have been politics. But when you have the ability to gin up the kind of craziness, just look at the latest thing that Yelp has decided they're going to do. Now you can anonymously report some business that you think is racist, and Yelp will flag it. Now that's a flat out extortion racket.
Well, who are you to say that? And if you're not willing to, isn't part of the law that you get to face your accuser?
Well, see, this is the problem: is we've destroyed all these checks and balances that are normally there, right? I mean, if I want to say your business bites, I should have to put my name on it.
Well, it's not that much of an argument because I think I might have won. I don't know. Maybe, you never know, Carl. I have this discussion with our executive producer, Maddie Weber, all the time. I said, we can't go down this road of the court of public opinion. What do you mean? I know that policeman's guilty. Maddie, he might be 90% guilty, and I happen to agree with you. It looks bad. But I know that in this country, everybody gets a defense, and there just might be something there that you and I don't know about, and that's why we have the system. We have a process that people have died for since the friggin' Magna Carta, for God's sake. And if we don't have any faith in that you get to watch a video, give somebody a thumbs up or thumbs down, we're talking about a Roman Colosseum, for God's sake. And we don't want to live like that, do we? Well, chief, the guy's...
Well, that's the road we're going down. Yeah. I mean, you take a look at what's happened here, and then the worst part of it is that, Ringling Brothers sold circuses, right? And, and what's P.T. Barnum's saying? There's a sucker born every minute. But on the other hand, these guys are directly profiting from the more fury you can gin up in people.
Well, you can't, but I watched, that was a show. It was, they took off the end of the Cub game, which was brutal, so it wasn't so bad. It was it when Trump got, it was something happened. And within like 20 minutes, they had five or six experts, they had all these people, And everybody, they made a whole afternoon out of it just by the controversy and somebody bringing up some innuendo that nobody could back up. And then they talk about that for a while and something else. I'm like, this is like sports radio in the middle of the night. You know, is Ernie Banks a better shortstop than Louis Aparicio? Who cares? They're both Hall of Famers. They're both good guys. This has become our life.
But you can
get to the point where, wait a minute, don't, that's why you put 12 people there that listen to every little bit of this crap for a month to try and figure out if somebody really is guilty or not. Oh, we don't have to.
Look at what happened with this whole Breonna Taylor thing, right? Okay, yeah. Louisville is the original story that the media ginned up and all the social media and everything else was that the cops barged into this place and just shot her.
Right.
Alright. The truth, and this thing goes to a grand jury. So, alright, so we've got people in a room that actually heard the evidence, and they indicted one officer for shooting into a different apartment because he was careless.
Right.
But they refused to indict anybody for actually shooting Breonna Taylor. And as it turns out, the truth is that they fired on the cops.
Right.
Okay, well, guess what? If I shoot at a police officer, what do you think's going to happen?
Well, but it's a total, in Chicago, a unanimous, I believe it was unanimous. I know Jay and Lori, and I think Tony Preckwinkle, they put out a combined thing that what a miscarriage of justice it was and how they basically excoriated the grand jury. Carl, I know that it's perfect. People in this country have been perfectly capable, white people, black people, of doing bad things to other people. I know that someplace, somewhere, white people have exonerated a white person that killed a black person that shouldn't have been exonerated. I know that happened, right? I mean, I know it. But I also know I was not in this grand jury room.
Right.
And our process is, and these guys knew the pressure they were under, these guys and women, that to put people in a room and unless I'm in their mind and know I don't care what these cops did, they're coming out of here innocent. Unless some of those people are in there and I don't know what they are, and that, how exactly do I second guess?
Well, that's part of the problem is that, you know, unless you were in the room at the time and you heard all of the evidence, you either have to believe that the process, it doesn't mean it doesn't sometimes get corrupted, because of course it does. But you either believe in the process or you don't. And at the point that you say you don't, what you've said is that when it's your turn, you don't.
Right.
All right. Well, you know what? If I may disagree with a decision that a grand jury or a trial jury has come to, but that doesn't mean that I have superior information to them, because I don't, unless I was on one of those two boards.
Right.
And so I am now, by definition, I'm stating that I don't believe in the process anymore, and that is a very dangerous place to go.
It's very dangerous, and it's not us. At least I don't think it's us. But how many people, I'm just saying, you see these tapes and you see something, and I'll admit stuff looks bad, but it doesn't matter, Carl. I mean, our system is that if somebody walks out there in front of 100 people and blasts somebody in broad daylight, he still gets a defense. He might have been insane. He might have been something. I'm going to say he looks to me like he's guilty, but I'm not like a blind, right? But that's just not us. He gets his day in court, and he gets somebody to defend him.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Sometimes it isn't what it appears to be, because, okay, he shot the guy, but the other guy shot at him first, and you didn't see that.
Right. You know, I have to say.
That's the thing. Is that's why we have a process, and the evidence comes out, and it's presented to people, and they make a decision. And you can disagree with the decision, but to just out and out say, oh, no, that's wrong, when you didn't get all of that evidence in front of you, you know, it's one thing if you can prove that some amount of information was withheld.
Right.
Deliberately. Okay, that's a different situation.
Which can happen. Which can happen.
We've got some. Now you've got corruption, and I'm all with you on that. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're saying we don't believe that the grand jury actually heard this evidence. We didn't see any of it, but we know better than they did.
You know what? A last note here, Carl. When you said that the senators had the duel in the bottom of the Senate, you know what the first thing that flashed across my mind was? I hope the two idiots were better shots than the gangbangers in Chicago and only hit each other.
There you go.
Carl, thank you very much for filling in, bud. SP Futures now down 1275. NASDAQ only up 39. We're up 100 when we came in. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.